Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program. Here with me via the interwebs is...
This is Rogan recovering from food poisoning or something.
But it's another night in the Nerd Cave. We are old nerds and we are drinking. Ro, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking... which is probably not a good idea in my stomach's current state of recovering. I am drinking Ace Pineapple Craft Cider.
I'm actually not far off of you. I'm rocking. Today was kind of a hectic day. I had to work in the morning. My mom was driving home from visiting my sister. Today's Mother's Day. And then at 5 o'clock, we had to take my daughter to the school because they were leaving for their class trip. So by the time I got her all on the bus and got her departed, it was like 6 o'clock. And it's like, well, I have absolutely nothing planned for dinner. So I ran to Meijer's, grabbed some hamburger meat, and was going to make some hamburgers. And then I noticed Samuel Adams Porch Rocker Lemon Radler. Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
It is a seasonal lemon beer. It's not one I've heard from before. I mean, I'm partial to a summer shandy. I kind of like the sour lemon beers, but only the lemon stuff. Like when you get into the weird fruits, it doesn't really do anything for me. But I love a good summer shandy. The local brewery, Wyandotte Brewery, they do a margarita beer that has lime added to it. I tried that last time I was there, and it was really good. I might try and grab a growler for one of the episodes we do soon.
I was, not to cut you off, I was thinking that, though. I've got this place around the corner from me called Pete's Place, and they have a fantastic selection of beers up there, and I have a couple of growlers from them. And I do have a little bit of extra money. I thought about going up there and actually getting a growler of beer filled up and just having it on hand.
Well, I'm actually thinking my cousin used to work there. I might see if they'll let us record an episode there. Pull out the mobile kit and we all set up and have some beers and talk some nerdy shit.
That might be a we still have to try to do that for our backyard too for the fire thing. But that's going to be a different kind of thing completely though.
Yeah. So. So, and I am drinking my beer in one of my purchases from the Wyandotte Citywide Garage Sale, which was this weekend. It is this lovely kind of ceramic mug, and it says, United States Drinking Team World Champions. And then it says, whistle for your beer. And it has a nifty little whistle built right into the handle. So you can whistle for your beer. But it said U.S. Drinking Team on it, which meant I had to buy it. It was my patriotic duty to have this mug in my house so I could drink beer out of it. So I'm drinking my Sam Adams Porch Rocker.
Sorry, I got a piece of popcorn caught in my throat.
That's not...
I don't mean to die on you. Yeah.
Don't die.
No.
But we're going
to
get...
I'm trying not to cough, but in trying not to cough, it's making me want to cough worse, so...
Well, you don't cough, you don't get off.
It appears to have run its course. I'm drinking the Ace Pineapple Cider, crafted cider. And my pull from the citywide yard sale of the city that you live in, Wyandotte, which for out-of-state people... It's a pretty big city, but it's an old school city. It's where they used to build the freighters back in the day off the Detroit River. And it's got a real rich history, but there's a lot of old cool houses there. And they have one of the coolest citywide yard sales around here. So I always try to hit that one up. But this year, because of my stomach rebellion, I wasn't able to spend much time there. I got a neat little clip-on light that's got four little LED branch lights that pop off of it. I got it for like $5. And... you know what? Do you want to talk about the outrageous geek nerd, yard sale guy now, or do you want to wait and hold that off?
Well, I mean, first we got a drink.
Oh, that's right. We do got a drink.
We do got a drink. Let's see. I clinked before, but you were dying, so I didn't know if it went through. So
no, I didn't hear on my end. So, all right, here, I'll do my clink. And there we go.
There we go.
This is the oddest. It's not bad. It's just a very unusual alcohol. You know what I do want to try, though?
What's that?
The, and I know you've seen them, the Sunny Delight vodkas.
Yeah, we drank them on the live show. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Never yeah. mind. Then I void that statement because
dude, they're good. Oh my God, are they are better yeah. than they have any right to be.
That's what I have been told. I've been told they taste exactly like Sunny Delight.
You know, in hindsight, I don't think they do taste like Sunny D as much. They taste delicious. They just don't taste like Sunny D. But Sunny D was like orange juice with sugar added on top of being orange juice.
Yeah. It was extra vitamin C.
Yeah. That extra vitamin something. Mm-hmm. And the extra vitamin C was for crack.
C is for crack.
Yeah. They're good. They just, I don't get Sunny D when I taste them. I get like citrusy soda when it tastes a little more like Squirt than it does to me, like Sunny Delight.
It's okay. I like Squirt. Squirt's not bad.
But this porch rocker is actually pretty good. I'm going to admit I cheated. I had one while I was barbecuing. But you get the lemon. The lemon isn't overpowering, and mm-hmm. you still taste like a beer. So it's just that hint of lemon with it, and it's nice. It's crisp. It's not too alcohol heavy. It's definitely something that lends itself well to a summer beer.
It's a shandy.
Yeah.
That's what shandies are supposed to be.
On the side, it labels it as an ale. Or no, excuse me, as a lager. It's a lager with natural flavors and lemon puree. It was so sketchy as to what it actually was. I was like, please don't be an IPA. Please don't be an IPA with lemon.
But I need to, I want to go out and buy some beers like that because now that summer's here, I have the little cooler on my back porch where I usually keep it stocked with different, you know, sodas and waters.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, but I usually, as is tradition, I usually buy the beer that's on clearance. And there's that liquor store right around the corner from you that has the shelf where beer goes to die. And that's usually where I go to pick up all of those kind of crazy beers. So when somebody shows up for fire night, I can go, yeah, there's beer in the cooler over there. And they'll go, oh, cool, thanks. They get over there and look at it. And it's like, it's not normal beer. Yeah. So
it is not the Bud Light that lives in somebody's fridge for when friends come over. It's beer with character.
It's beer with character. It's beer that I got for cheap. And I've actually gotten quite a few good beers that way, to be honest with you. I'm drinking the pineapple cider I'm drinking right now. Is that very beer kind of beer? Yeah. I also have this mule beer. It's in there.
Ooh.
It's, yeah, I'm saving. I got a couple of cans left. I'm saving it for next time you come over here. It's brewed in a copper kettle. It's beer.
Oh, I've had that. I've had that.
Can't remember who makes it right now.
Yeah,
though.
Shorts.
I think
yeah,
it's Shorts.
It's Shorts Brewery Mule Beer. I've actually we've actually drank that on the air before.
Yeah, I can't remember if I said it was the most vile fluid ever or not. I don't remember. I said that was.
I don't think it was great. I think it was a thing, but yeah, we'll have to try it again for science. See, that was the problem. The difference between screwing around in science is recording your results. So we didn't record our results, so we were obviously just screwing around.
Yes.
So, the citywide garage sale was this week. And why not such a good mix? Because there's a lot of, like, young families, like, that are in the area. But there's also, like, a lot of really old families that have been here for, like, generations. So you will find, like, some, I mean, like, that's where I would go to get clothes for the kids. The real trick is you find a family who has a garage sale every year and they have kids who are about a year older than your kids. And then you just keep going back to that house every year. And it's like when they're getting rid of that stuff and then it comes down to me. But now my kids are getting a little older to where they're getting into like the low end of adult sizes. So it's a little easier to find stuff for them. My main goal this year was to get like shorts for both of my kids and some summer clothes. But, you know, I still had to get some stuff for myself.
My big find for the year so far, I got really, we went to this, that me and you, obviously me and you are both yard sailors when the weather, strikes and summer hits. I found a yard sale last week and this guy he grows exotic tomatoes. He doesn't have normal, like ones that you go buy at Home Depot or Lowe's. He has this big table in there, $15 a plant, And I got these pineapple tomatoes, and then I got these chocolate, they're called chocolate black cherry tomatoes.
You know, my mom grew those one year.
Are they any good? I'm not a huge tomato
I don't
fan,
remember. I'm not a big tomato guy myself. Like,
I use them in, like, tacos and homemade salsas.
Exactly,
stuff like that, but I don't sit and eat, like, a tomato, like a snack, so.
Yeah. I had some good finds. I went to a yard sale, and I went, like, first thing Friday morning, and they were just putting their stuff out, or they're in the process of still putting stuff out, and this guy starts putting out Star Wars toys. Now, these are like the early 2000s from the re-release of the trilogy and all that. But, like, he sets out, like, a bunch of the starships that you could put the action figures in. And, like, the guy in front of me is like, hey, how much do you want for all of those? How much do you want for all that stuff? And he got all of them. For like stupid, like I think he paid $20 for them, and I didn't even have a chance to say, "Hey, can I?" Because he had like the Slave One, he had the A-wing, he had a couple of TIE fighters. I was like, "Son of a bitch, those would have been great."
Oh wow!
But while that guy was distracted by that, I grabbed the AT-AT. Yeah,
you got a model or you
a
mean like
toy,
the
like the actual action figured scale toy of the AT-AT. I mean, this thing's probably, when it stands on all fours, like almost 3 feet tall. It's a big toy.
Oh yeah, I know exactly which one it is. Yeah,
and it's like, oh my, I didn't need it. It's just gonna sit in the nerd cave. But you know, when the dopamine rush strikes and you've got to have it, and the impulse is there. Yeah, I totally bought that toy.
I'm getting to a point now where I'm starting to like really resist that, because I'll look at something and I'll be like, I literally have no more space.
Oh my God. There was a garage sale a couple blocks from my house, and they had a couple of sets of vintage like 60s tiki glasses. And it took every ounce of willpower I have not to purchase them.
Okay, those I might have bought. Those would have been fun.
You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, I already have some tiki mugs here at the house. They wanted like eBay prices for them. It was like $50 for a set of four. And I was like, it was still early in the yard sale, and I didn't want to blow all my money on that. So I ended up passing. But then a couple of houses, or like a couple of little while later, I was at a house and I noticed that this guy had like some glassware and everything. And in the back of the glassware, there was a clear, tall, like Tom Collins glass, and there were silhouettes on it. And I looked at those silhouettes. And those silhouettes were all in the purpose or process of performing various sexual acts. And all of those sexual acts had names above them. And they were in Polish. And I was like, oh my God, I have to have this. I don't
How
need
much?
It. Well, hold on. He was like, but I was like, no, I got to resist. But I was like, oh my God, it's one glass. It can just sit in my shelf. It's that. So I take it, and after a little bit of hemming and hawing, I go up to the guy, and I was like, sir, how much for this fine piece of glassware? He's like, well, that's a very special, very, very educational mug there, sir. I think I'm going to need at least $2 for it. You better believe I paid that guy $2 for it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that make an appearance down here in the Nerve Cave when we're recording some episodes and doing some drinking. But, you know, I was able to find, like, a lot of clothes for my kids. My daughter, I said she needed a suitcase for her trip. So I was able to find her a really, really nice suitcase at one of the animal shelters who takes donations, and there you just, everything's out, you grab what you need, and when you get up to the checkout, they're just like, well, what do you want to pay us for this? So I got a suitcase for her, I got her a new backpack, I got some of those like insulated vacuum seal water bottles for her trip. I was at their garage or their yard sale, I think last year, and I got a bunch of these really cool, like, scientific notebooks, like the kind that, like, every page has an area for drawing, and then it also has, like, an area to label the day, the project, and all that. I use those for, like, recording when I, where, how I'm painting my miniatures. But there's this one guy. There's this one guy in Wyandotte, and we always go to his house. You and I both go to him. And he is a guy who buys storage units.
No, he bought... The story behind the guy is this particular individual bought out a hobby store many years ago.
Told me he bought them all in the storage unit. So his story
Maybe he bought a storage unit from a hobby center that went... Or a hobby shop that went out of business. So maybe both stories are accurate. But he has these old... Like old Robotech models, or before even
just
Robotech,
tons of old old
like
model,
old
kits.
Original Dune movie models,
yeah, yeah,
old Star Trek models, old Star Wars Return of the Jedi models,
yeah, like he had like some of the very very early Gundam kits in there,
and he wants premium dollar for everything that he has, and. Yeah. He had last year we and you were there, as last year or the year before, and he had a big tray of Dungeons and Dragons dice, and he wanted to sell, wanted to sell the whole box for like $70 or something like that. And I'm like, there wasn't even 100 dice in it. You can go on Amazon and buy a mixed bag of 100 dice for like $20 or something like that.
Yeah.
He's just ridiculously, he wants premium price for every single thing. And he's,
yeah, it's like he won't put price tags on stuff. But, and like when you go to pay him, he's looking up on like eBay or Board Game Geek and these other sites to see what stuff's selling for. And that's where he's pricing it. And then, you know, I can understand. And I've bought stuff from him in the past, but it's just, you know, it's like I've come to your garage sale like every time we have it, and like I was looking through boxes of his stuff, and I found it was a visual companion to Celebrity Deathmatch seasons 1 and 2, and it had all the episodes broken down with like who the fighters were and how the fights went, and I'm like, man, that's a cool thing. Like I remember Celebrity Deathmatch.
I never liked that show.
So I'm like, hey man, how much for this book? He's like, all right, well, let me see. And he's looking, and he can't find a price on it. And it's like, well, give me like $20. I'm like, dude, the cover price on it is $17.99. Like, can you do it for $10? And he's hemming, he's high, and I'm finally, all right, we do it for $15, and he did it for $15. And I'm just like, I come to your garage sale every year.
He doesn't care.
Every time I come, like, you know me that I come here, and you know that I spend like $100 or some at your garage sale every year. And you've said for me to call you and like try and like look at stuff you have. But it's like, man, like there's nothing. There's like no like, hey, okay, well, you've spent a bunch of money for me, I'll give you a little break. And it's like, is there really people beating down your door to buy all this stuff?
No, he doesn't care. That's why. Like I'll like this last time I went there, knowing full well what I was going into, but after about 10 minutes there, just looking through all of his stuff, because he does have really cool shit.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm like, this guy, like, it still has the original price tags on a lot of it from the original hobby store.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like the first time I ever went there, I got him, or he got me on that, because I'm like, okay, well, here's all this stuff. He's like, all right, well, let me look what it's worth. I'm like, but there's price tags on it. He's like, well, yeah, but those have the tags on them. I'm like, well, then why did you leave them on? Because I was under the impression that that's what the price was, because they have a fucking price tag on him. And now he's gotten smart, and he's either pulled them off or re-tagged them over with the prices that he's looking for stuff.
The stuff that I saw there, they were still the old school original price tags, because you can tell, because they were weighted, they were faded and worn.
He had a, I was going to say,
that they don't make anymore.
Because he had a lot of the Robotech and the Gundam model kits priced, and you could tell they were new prices because they were like $70 and $80 on them.
Yeah, it's people like that. It's just like, I mean, I get it, but it's hard to go there and pay. The guy's trying to sell you a miniature, and he's trying to get like $40 off it. Where if I know if I go to a gaming swap meet, I'm going to get it for like $4 or $3 or
yeah, he offered to sell me a bunch of stuff, and I was talking to him, and like, he's like, yeah, you could probably resell it there for a profit. I was like, that's not how the gaming industry works. Like, you
doesn't people, care.
Yeah, like
he does not care. He's
well, and that's the thing is like right, once I explained that to him, like, he was like, oh, well, then, yeah, it's probably not going to sell there. I'm like, yeah, because people don't want to pay that, especially in the era of 3D printing. Nobody is paying top dollar for old miniatures because 3D printing exists.
Yeah.
And the people who are paying anything, they aren't paying for it because they want the collectability of it. They're paying for it because they want to paint it. So it doesn't matter if it's still new in the box or new in the original blister pack. Because if I'm buying that miniature, the first thing I'm doing is taking it out of the blister pack because mm-hmm. I want to paint it. So, yeah, I probably won't be swinging by his garage sale anymore. And it astounds me, like, the number of people that are still combing garage sales. Like, I saw multiple people. I'd be, like, looking through stuff, and they'd be like, do you have any action figures from, like, the 1980s? Do you have any, like, old comic books and all, or, like, old collectible cards? And it's like a normal family from like modern, like, I'm not saying that, but like not somebody who's selling antiques, and they're still looking for those, like, oh, I'm going to get this action figure from like Star Wars and buy it for 50 cents and sell it for $100 on eBay. Well, and it's like,
be surprised. I mean,
it's like, yeah, that stuff happened a lot in like 20 years ago. But now everybody knows that eBay exists. And like there were a lot of garage sales I went to where people were like, oh yeah, I've got some of this stuff on eBay too. So like, this is what I have it for on eBay. But if you want to buy it here, I'll maybe cut a little bit off of you. Yeah. It's like, you aren't going to find the bin of old G.I. Joe guys that somebody's going to sell you for $5.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've come across quite a lot of stuff like that, but it's never anything that I'm looking for.
Right.
But I take that back. I did get and you're going to want to smack me for this, but I did it for a friend of mine. I have a friend whose son is getting into Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I've got some old fourth edition stuff that I'm never going to touch. And fourth edition, if you're a kid just getting into Dungeons and Dragons, fourth edition's not a bad way to go. It's like, here, start here, whatever. But I got lucky, and I did find a Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition Monster Manual for $5 at a yard sale. So I scooped that up, and then I come home to find out that I was digging through on eBay to see what some of that 4th Edition stuff's going for, because I read that it's going for cheap. And some of it is, but some of it is going for outrageously expensive, like insane. I've got this monster vault, 4th edition monster vault. I bought all this 4th edition stuff because I figured, okay, I'll get my kids in the D&D. We never played. This freaking monster vault is going for like $89. I think I paid $35 for it when it came out. But you can get player's handbooks for $18 for 4th edition. You can get dungeon master's guides from anywhere from $20 to $25. There's a monster manual. I think it's Monster Manual 3. For whatever reason, that particular one is going for $75 to $80. I think it's because it's got the drow on the front of it.
Well, and but it's fourth edition didn't have as much. So there was the third edition where everything was third party. And then when Wizards of the Coast tried to hit the reset button with fourth edition, they were much stricter on companies making third-party support for 4th edition
stuff.
Yeah,
if you were a third party and you made something for 4th edition, that was it. You weren't allowed to make anything for any other edition.
So 4th edition never had the secondary market support that 3rd edition did, which meant that you were kind of only stuck with the official D&D stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing probably those books were towards the end of the fourth edition life cycle and just never had the print runs that some of the other stuff did. So if you're a collector and you're trying to complete your collection, you're going to pay a higher price for that stuff because you want that higher stuff.
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. But I have, going back to what you're saying, though, I have seen stuff at yard sales where people just, they don't know. Like, their kids have grown up and moved out of the house, and it was a box of toys just sitting in the basement, and they just throw them out on the yard sale. Because me and you play Gaslands, and I'm always on the lookout for, like, really cool, interesting Matchbox cars. And I used
to work
with a guy that was hard.
I had to force myself this time not to pick up, like, just boxes of Matchbox cars.
See, again, I don't do it now because I have so much now. I'm like, hey, unless it's something really cool, I don't buy, you know. But if I'm somewhere and I see like a box, like a Dungeons and Dragons starter box, and it's got miniatures and dice and stuff in it, if it's like $5, I'll pick it up, you know, just because, you know, if you're a gamer, everybody has, like, you never have enough dice.
Oh, yeah.
I've got this giant brandy glass that's half full of dice, and I will continue to buy dice for it. Everybody that it's a gamer just has that. They've all got.
Oh, my God. A couple of weeks back, I went to a swap meet at one of the local game stores, and man, he had some really pretty dice. And it's like, I don't need this, but oh, my God. It's like large D20s that have reservoirs inside them of like swirling glitter liquid that when you roll them, it looks like it's all swirling around. And it's just like, it's so pretty. He had metal dice, but they were cut in a way that instead of having, like, a lot of metal dice have those like super hard corners. These were rounded and they looked almost like they were rock, but you could tell they were metal. And I was like, oh man, if I wanted a set of metal dice, man, that's what I'd get.
Those are what you bring to your buddy's house when you want to fuck up his wooden table. Oh. You throw the dice across the table.
Oh, dude,
tinks them up.
Dude, my buddy Chuck has a D20, a solid steel D20 that I swear is like a bigger than a golf ball.
I think I know this Chuck. Is it the Chuck that I'm thinking of?
Oh, yeah. That's the only friend Chuck I have. But yeah, you know him.
Chuck has many interesting dice.
Yeah. So that one, like, I swear to God, when he drops it, it dents the table. It doesn't roll. It doesn't have, it's so dense and heavy that when it hits the table, it may go over once, but it's not like a regular die where it moves a little bit. Like, so it's really easy to game how you roll it. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and it's like, I'm glad he's rolling it on his table because he absolutely wouldn't be rolling it on mine.
I've always been curious about those dice that you buy that are filled with liquid and have stuff in them as to how true they actually roll. You know, how balanced they are with the liquid inside of them sloshing around. Because there's all kinds, there was that chick that was making those dice online that had little plastic sperm in them. I don't know why she was making them. I don't know. I know you've seen them. I think I sent you a link.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of different ways you can pour resin where you can do. My daughter has a set that have little frogs inside of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are worried about, like, the way your specialty frog encased dice are rolling because it might be throwing off your game, like, you are not playing the game for the love of the game. It's like, if you are that worried about, like, how true your dice are rolling, man, take it a little less seriously. That's just my advice for you. There's a ton of, this is a huge thing in, like, the wargaming community, is the idea of club dice, which are like, a lot of times tournaments or conventions as a prize will give away dice that have the convention logo on it, or a gaming club might have custom dice with their club's logo on the six. And there's always been this group of gamers who have just been hardcore against it because, well, you're taking off all that material on the six, so it makes it more likely to roll that number. And they're trying to say that you're cheating by using these dice because there's microns worth of material that have been removed, and that throws off the probability. And it's just mind-numbing that it's like, if you are so worried about you're going to lose the game about because these dice might be rolling true, not rolling true, like, man, what does that say about how you're playing the game?
I can't stand playing with people like that.
And it's, and I believe 100% in my heart, it's psychological. It's no more probability that you're rolling sixes because it's got that custom logo on it. But it's like every time your opponent rolls that six, there is that logo and it is mocking you. And it's just, you hate it a little bit more. My buddy Chuck has the same buddy. He has these special dice for his one of his Horus Heresy armies. And it's like every time you see that iron skull come up on the six, it's like, God damn it. But I don't believe it's rolling better because of it. It's just, like I said, the psychological aspect of the taunting of it.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I get it. I was beating somebody in a game. Oh, God. It was a while ago. And I was having an unusually good game with the person, and the guy was like, can you change your dice for me? And I'm like, sure, I don't care, whatever. Changed the dice, still won the game, but the guy was like, how are you getting all these good rolls and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'll just change the dice out, and I still ended up winning the game, but that person doesn't want to play the game anymore.
Well, the one thing I will say is especially in wargaming, because you're rolling, like, huge numbers of D6s, I prefer not to use D6s with rounded edges because they tend to scatter a little more. They get a little more bounce to them, and they kind of just spread out a little more. I like the dice that have the hard edges. I don't think they roll better. I just think they're less likely to bounce all around and have to go after them. So all my wargaming dice usually are that style. And at the last GT, I probably rolled the best game I have ever rolled in my life. I made so many 5+ saves that even I was amazed at, like, holy crap, this is better than I've ever rolled in my life. And the guy was starting to get a little frustrated. And I'm like, it's sometimes it's just luck. And I was never rolling the same dice. I just have a bag of them. I would grab as many as I needed and roll them. But the fucked up thing was, as good as I rolled, he still won the game. But he was still kind of pissed about how well I was rolling.
Yeah, this is why I don't like to play a lot of these kinds of games. Like, okay, Blood Bowl, for example. You've played Blood Bowl with me. I use the Goblin, the Goblin team. I like to use them. Goblin teams aren't really made to win. They're made to go out and just cause chaos and have a lot of fun.
They're made to be goblins.
Yeah, and I know I'm probably going to lose when I play it, but I still like to play it and have as much fun as I can. Most of the tabletop games that I play, I'm like that. I don't go in trying my hardest to be the guy that has to win every time. Because I'm not that good at those games to begin with, but I still like to play them and have fun. It's like, I think we've had the Power Gamer conversation on this show, right, before?
Well,
because it leads into something I'm about ready to talk about.
Well, I don't know specifically, but I mean, I know people who are Power Gamers. Like, there is a person in my friend group who their significant other is like a Power Gamer, and like the one of the first times I ever met this person, it's we had a board game night, and you know, everybody's bringing board games. So he brings out this very regional specific board game that none of us have ever heard of. None of us have ever played. He is the only person who knows all the rules to it and desperately wanted to play, and then desperately made sure that he won. And it's like, where's the enjoyability in that? Like, why? Like, you have showed me that I never want to have a board game night with you again. Because, like, if I'm demoing a board game to other people, I kind of do my best to try and not to win that game because it's like, I know the game, I know how to rule to play it, but I want to teach it to you people and I want you people to enjoy it. And you're not going to enjoy it if I just dick stomp you as soon as, because I know how all the little gamey things to get the game to win.
Yeah, I can't play with people like that. So, I've been playing, this is something that's totally unplanned. I'm going to go off on a, it's not a tangent, but this is something that I'm doing now. So, Banjo Jones, apparently, somebody took, you may have heard of this too, but somebody took World of Warcraft and went in and completely, for the most part, rewrote how the game works. And it's available for free. The website is called ascension.gg. And what they did is they re-released World of Warcraft. How they did this without getting sued, we don't know. But it is classless World of Warcraft. So you basically go in and you can make literally any kind of character, any kind of race. You can have like a human shaman if you want to. But you can essentially create any kind of character that you want.
Okay.
And so, I more or less created Thor. I have this one character that he throws off lightning bolts around him and all this stuff. Now, I haven't played World of Warcraft in going on probably 16 years. And I left World of Warcraft because it was very much a game of, if you want to go into this raid, or if you want to do this, or if you want to do that, you have to be spec'd properly, you have to have the proper gear, all this kind of stuff. And it wasn't fun to play anymore because I couldn't get into the raids because I didn't have the gear that I needed to play the raid so I could get the gear. It was just, you know, it's like thinking about it kind of gave me anxiety. So Banjo's like, here, come play this. And I'm like, this is World of Warcraft. I'm not paying to play World of Warcraft. He goes, no, it's World of Warcraft, but it's completely different. There's no classes. There's no nothing. You can actually create a character and it will randomly give you powers or abilities. So you might have a shaman fire totem, and then you might have a warlock raise zombie or something like that. And you essentially create whatever the hell you want to create. And I'm having a hard time playing it. I started playing it. I'm like, I can't do this, A, because I don't know what's what in World of Warcraft anymore. And it's so drilled into me that, okay, if you're going to create a mage, you have to go with this build. You have to have these talents. You have to have so much in this slot, so much in that slot. And if you don't, you're not going to have an effective mage. And it's not worth playing because no one's going to take you on a raid, et cetera, and so on. So now I'm in an environment where it's like, all right, you can literally do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Because of that old school World of Warcraft mentality has been so pounded into my head. I'm like, okay, I can make a character. What do I make to make the most effective character to be the guy to go out into the raid? And everybody's like, that doesn't exist here. And I'm like, then how do we go into a raid if we wipe the raid? Whose fault is it going to be or whatever? They're like, that's not how this game's not written to be that way anymore. They're like, just make whatever you want to make and play that character.
My God, you level incredibly fast. I was going to say, that actually sounds kind of fun.
Well, now that I'm getting over the anxiety and the programming of if you're going to be a warrior, you have to have this and this to get all, and now that I've got over the anxiety of no, you don't have to have that. So I was going to make like this fighter, like warlock guy, you know, but it's just kind of weird. It works differently. It's a little bit different to wrap your head around, but you can also just like hit a button and boom, you find a group. And a lot of people, I've been checking around, like a lot of people are like, that's stupid. It doesn't take any skill to play it, blah, blah, blah. It's dumb. It's not real World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and I'm that's kind of why it's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm like, does it matter if it's fun? You know, plus it's free. That's the other thing. It's free. I'm not paying to play this game. The whole thing is completely free. Now, if you donate to them, which I've done, they give you an XP bonus if you donate some money to them. I'm like, this is free. Somebody wouldn't have put the time and the effort to go and reprogram all this and redo this whole thing. They're running these servers, which isn't cheap. Running servers like this is not cheap. So I'm like, sure, I'll toss them a couple of bucks and they give you an XP bonus. So like I've had this one character for a day and I'm already at like level 31 because that's what I was doing when I'm at home sick, not going anywhere except for to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'll try it and give it a shot. But I do recommend if you wanted to try it out, you know, I'd play it online with you. But it's really strange because you can, you can just be like, okay, I want to make, if like, there's this thing called an arcane archer, which is a cross between a hunter and a mage. And the way that they wrote it, like the buffs that normally wouldn't work with one another, buffs work differently now and stuff.
Right.
But back to my original point, I almost didn't want to play it because I'm trying to wrap my head around the concept of, okay, well, you know, Banjo's like, it doesn't matter. You can make whatever you want. I'm like, okay, I get that. But what do I need? What character classes work best together so I can make the best possible character to get into a raid or to do this kind of stuff? Like, what do I need to play where I'm not going to have to worry about people saying, your character sucks, he's not geared right, he's not built right? And he's like, there isn't anything like that. I'm like, well, there has to be something like that, or because people that play this, they take this stuff really serious. And like, the whole mentality of it's completely different. So I was actually like thinking back to it. It was actually giving me anxiety playing. Like, I can't go into a dungeon with any of these people because I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know if my abilities are working right. I don't know if I'm pulling the maximum amount of damage, you know. And after I played a couple of adventure or a couple of dungeons with the dungeon finder, nobody says a word. Nobody cares. Just go and attack the monsters, you know. And how the game works is completely different, and it's free. So it's really strange how, like, World of Warcraft and playing with power gamers, etc., has reprogrammed my brain to be able to play games, or just these kind of games in general, you know. Because every time I've gotten, most of the people that I've played with are always power gamers. I sort of broke that when I started playing D&D last time. I made a Tiefling monk, and there was one person that was like, don't do that, that's dumb. Tieflings don't make good monks, everybody makes warlocks out of them. I'm like, I'm just going to make what the fuck I want to make, because A, this group probably isn't going to last that long, and I just want to, I'm going to make what I want to make and just have fun. It's Dungeons & Dragons. I'm not here to win Dungeons & Dragons.
Exactly, yeah. Oop, yeah. oh, man. Yeah, we, in our weekly game, we're playing one of the pre-written supplements, or like the campaign arcs, and we were at the end of the chapter, so we're getting ready to go to the boss fight, but we don't really have a tank in our group, and our kind of big bad damage sorcerer, she couldn't make it that time. So we went into the big bad boss fight with the rabbit person rogue, a tiefling warrior who is not great at being a war, or no, I can't remember if he's tiefling or dragonborn, but he's the warrior, but he kind of sucks at being a warrior. The monk, or the human monk, who is, for all intents and purposes, the tank of the group, and the cleric. We get into the fight, and we're fighting snake people who, as a racial ability, can do the charm effect. Well, so first they try to charm the monk, that's me, and I have a class ability that lets me just not be charmed. I'm so in tune with myself, it just doesn't work. So then the head lizard person priestess charms the rogue and the warrior so that they have to help her. So it's down to the monk and the cleric tank, like the only people who can do anything in this fight. And I managed to account myself pretty well. I don't do a lot of damage, but I can attack a whole fuck ton and do a little bit of damage each time I attack. And then the cleric is basically
death by a thousand paper cuts.
That's pretty much, well, it's death by a thousand slaps. And you know, those slaps only do a D6 damage, but when I can do like four of them a turn, that adds up. And then the cleric is trying to do a little bit of help, but he's mostly just trying to keep me alive. and then finally, I knocked out the priestess, so that broke the charm on the other two, so they could join the fight. And after that, I think the lowest I got down to was like 8 hit points. And managed to keep myself in the fight. But afterwards, I was like, what the hell do we have you people here for?
Well, what are you guys playing right now?
We are playing the Tyranny of Dragons storyline. So it's the storyline where you eventually either have to stop the Cult of the Dragon from summoning Tiamat, or the Cult of the Dragon summons Tiamat, and then you've got to fight Tiamat.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that's when the rainbow tastes you. But I mean, like, when we've got our whole party and we're good together, it works. But the guy who's playing the fighter, he is, like, he has the absolute worst luck with dice. He is the only person I am willing to believe is actually just cursed to naturally roll low. Because he'll sit there and throw attacks and it's just 4, 6.
That's me.
Yeah.
That is absolutely me, without a doubt. That's one of the reasons why when I play these games, like when I play tabletop miniatures games, it's kind of like, I'm not going to win this, and this is why.
Right.
So,
as we have established, Chuck's a bit of a power game build. So, yeah, like, he's great. And, like, his guy can stand in the shadows and toss out arrows, and he's doing, like, 4d6 damage with every hit. But yeah, when he can't shoot anybody, and if like, it because of the charm, if we try to attack the priestess, they have to attack me. So it's like, okay, well, I gotta like fight all the mooks and kill the mooks while the priestess is trying to kill me. And then finally I can like use my knockout attack on her, and she goes down like a house of cards. And then they're like, oh yeah, now we can get into the fight. Yeah, now you can get in the fight, boys. Going back to what you were saying about that game, it reminds me a lot of my experience playing Elder Scrolls Online. I never to this day have played World of Warcraft. Not once, never.
You would be fine playing this.
I never played EverQuest. The only MMOs I ever really played were, I played City of Heroes for a little bit. And then I played Star Wars The Old Republic for a little bit. And I never really got into either of them.
I actually would still play either one of those games if either one of those were installed in my system right now.
During COVID, my friend groups and I, we got together playing Elder Scrolls Online because it was something we could all play together online. And what I really like about that game is you can play the entire story part of the game solo, and it levels the game to you. I never had, like, any part of it where I needed to have a party with me unless I was doing the specific raid battles. And it didn't matter what my build was. It didn't matter, like, what magic items I had. The game scaled to me. So I loved it because I could play it and experience the story. And then when I'd go play with my friends, it would still kind of level to our party average. So even though I wasn't making a hardcore, like, numbers crunching build, I never felt like I was slacking off. And if we ever got the group of friends back together, I totally would go back and play Elder Scrolls Online. Because, yeah, it was an enjoyable experience. I had fun playing it. And it wasn't about, exactly what you were saying about World of Warcraft. It was all about the raids. It was about having a build that worked for the raid. And you had to be your part in the raid. And then you'd spend 4 hours playing this raid, get to the end, and it may or may not roll a piece of loot that's good for you. So it's like, okay, well, then you've got to do the raid again until you keep doing it and get the loot that lets you have the even better build and go do other raids. And it's like, okay, well, what happens when you get all the pieces for your super spiffy build? Well, then what are you doing?
See, this works a little bit differently. Like, I have anxiety in playing on massive multiplayer games. Unless I really know the people and it's my buddies and we're just having fun, I have anxiety about going on raids and stuff. Well, with Ascension being the way that it is, getting gold and loot, they took everything about what it takes in World of Warcraft. It takes forever to grind and level your character up. Since it's not official World of Warcraft, they're like, all right, well, we're going to knock the experience you get up. So you level a lot faster, getting gold's a lot easier. And going into dungeons and stuff, if you're not completely geared up the right way, it's not so much as important as that. It's more about just getting together and going in and running one of these things and having fun, at least what I've seen so far. And again, it was hard for me to wrap my head around that. That was one of the things I liked about City of Heroes, because when City of Heroes went out of business, the company no longer existed, it's all fell apart. Somebody learned how to crack the game and put it back up on the internet. And then at the same time, they also went into the game. And since it's now, the game is freely available to everybody, the technology is there and the crack is there to be able to make your own private servers, people have gone in and added new powers, they've added new animations, new costume pieces, and the game, even though it's an old game, the game is continuing to evolve, and you can literally do pretty much whatever you want in it. And it's a lot of fun now, but again, I don't have many people that I play with anymore. And with the World of Warcraft thing, it's just a lot of fun. And the thing that I love the most about all of these, with the exception of Star Wars, even though you don't pay to play Star Wars, you can still become a premium member and get extra boards and stuff like that.
You don't have to pay to play the game, but it makes it a fuck ton easier if you pay to play the game.
Whereas with City of Heroes and this World of Warcraft, they call it Ascension. But again, I don't know how they did this. It's like classic WoW, but there's no like, if you want to make a warlock, you can make a warlock if you really want to do that. Sure, you can do that. But you can do whatever you want with it. And I love the fact that somebody has gone in and taken these games and evolved them. And they're actually going out and really working on, okay, well, let's do this. Let's change this. Let's say they're making them into whole new games. Now, the purists get all pissed off about that. They don't with City of Heroes, because there is no alternate City of Heroes to go to. But there are City of Heroes servers out there. They're like, hey, if you like old school City of Heroes, here's the server. This is exactly the way the game was when they took it off the market and they shut the server down. This is exactly what it was. But if you want to come over here and you want to build this kind of a character and you want to build an archer, there's a whole bunch of new flaming different arrows and stuff. It's just really fascinating when people take dead games like this and recreate them and put them back up there and, you know, give them new life and continue to evolve them in interesting and new ways and take them into totally new directions. Again, this idea with World of Warcraft, I'm like, what do you mean there's no classes? Like, what do you mean there's no hunter? There's power sets. They still have the power sets from those groups. And how you buy your powers is each powers are worth so many points when you build your character. And depending, like, you can buy a summon power, which costs you 6 points, and you only start with 10. So half of your points, over half of your points are going to be gone right there, just buying whatever the summoning power is. If you want to summon a tree creature or an undead or some kind of a demon or something like that, you can do it, but it's going to take half of your powers. But I'm one of those people that likes to summon a pet, send the pet in, and I'll just sit back and just ping him, you know, with long range damage while the pet's in there tanking and taking all the damage and stuff. Because I solo a lot. But I can have, like, I can make, you know, I can make literally whatever I want. And it's kind of like, okay, now what do I do? You know?
Right.
What do I create? You should try it. You should download it and play it. Anybody should. It's not a scam. It's for real. It's ascension.gg.
Oh, man, if I had the time, that is the biggest hurdle, is the fact that, like, I have games... like, I have bought recently and still have never installed and played. Like,
oh, yeah, same way with me and Steam.
Yeah, when the Valve did Tiny Tina's Wonderland, I bought that, like, I pre-ordered it, I think, so that I could play it right when it came out. Haven't even installed it. Still sitting there. I think I bought two games on the spring Steam sale. I bought Jedi Outcast, the Star Wars game that came out, I think, like a year or two ago, that the new one's coming out, like, this year, or just came out. Bought that, haven't even played it. And then I'm waiting for the DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, to come out, I think, next month. And then, I'll play through that. And then I'm when September rolls around, Starfield's coming out. And I'll probably lose a few days to playing that, but I might have to upgrade my computer to be able to play it.
That's why I like this, because it'll run on my crappy little laptop. My main computer is still down. I got it running, but the backup hard drive in it shot. So, that's why I like playing this, because I can play it on my laptop. It's such an old game, the computer has no problem running it.
Yeah, Starfield's a game I've been waiting like over a decade for. Like, I remember when Bethesda announced like the white paper of like, hey, we're going to do a sci-fi space opera game. And I have just been like waiting, because it's like with how good they've done with the Fallout franchise, like being able to do a vast open world sci-fi game, like this is kind of what I always hoped Star Citizen would be eventually and still isn't, but we're finally gonna get it, and I think I'm gonna probably end up having to upgrade my damn computer just to be able to play it.
I've heard about it, but not because when I heard about it, I'm like, this is Star Citizen all over again. So,
but it's unlike Star Citizen, where it's just a never-ending money sink of, hey, buy new ships so we can continue working on the game. It's like, this will be a AAA title. It will come out and you'll buy the game. You may have to buy some DLCs for it, but that's it. It's just the game.
I'm wondering if anybody still plays Fallout 76 anymore.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's and in fact, they're doing a big Mothman event in the game still, because the people who don't like Fallout are the people who are playing Fallout 76.
I didn't mind it. Well, I was an early player, so when the game came out, the game is surviving because they brought everything into it that people wanted. When the game first came out, there was no towns. There was no like areas for people to meet up have a market.
It was, hey, we made this Fallout game. It has everything you like about Fallout, just right out. We removed all of that, and here's this game. And the fans were like, hey, this is a shitty Fallout game. It doesn't have any of the things we like about Fallout games. And now, 2-3 years later, it's like, hey, we realize that, and we've kind of put some of the stuff that you like about Fallout games back in it. And the hardcore Fallout game fans are like, cool, let us run private instances of it and let us mod it. And Bethesda's like, no, we can't do that.
When they came out with the game, they wanted to do... Do you remember... I know you're going to remember this. Way back in the day of EverQuest and the original Star Wars massive multiplayer online game, they didn't have... like markets and things like that. So players would just show up, set up a table in the game and be like, I'm selling stuff. And, you know, people would just show up and create their own markets and stuff. And they were kind of hoping that the same kind of thing would happen in Fallout 76, where people would be like, okay,
Fallout 76
grove right here.
Yeah. Fallout 76 was just a money grab. It was 100% a money grab.
It was underdeveloped. It didn't seem like it was a finished game.
Here's this game. And we'll finally let you play Fallout with your friends. However, we brought back the mechanics where all of your stuff breaks down, and we've made the components to repair your stuff very hard to find, and some of it, like, some of the crafting ingredients expire. Like, there was this very rare, like, flower that would only bloom after a nuclear bomb went off, and you could harvest it to make this super powerful potion or like something. But once you picked the flower, if it was in for your inventory for more than 24 hours, it just would spoil, and then you couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking about going back to it, though. I might hook your Xbox Live account.
So it was like all of your equipment degrades. And you spent most of your time just trying to find stuff to be able to keep your equipment repaired. And then they went, oh, but if you give us $10, you can buy, we'll give you this currency and you can use that to buy repair kits. that let you repair your stuff without having to go farm all the components. And that was the point where I was like, fuck you, this is a money grab.
Yeah, I walked away from it. Now, they've added so much new stuff to it that I'd have to start completely from scratch and basically relearn the game, which I'm fine with, you know, but it just kind of sucks because all the effort and the suits and all the armor and stuff I've gotten before,
yeah,
is going to be kind of useless.
Until I can run a private instance of it with just myself and only the friends who I want to be on the server playing the server. And then I can then mod the server to put in all the mods I want. I have absolutely no interest to play Fallout 76. And they will never allow that kind of functionality to be in the game, because if they did, you wouldn't need to give them money to continually to play the game.
Now, I will say, based off of what you're saying right now, they've got a Grand Theft Auto Online. Finally.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, but now you can do private servers with just you and your friends.
I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 when, like, it early came out and there were all these cool mods doing it. And then, like, the month after I bought it, Rockstar sent cease and desist letters to all the modders and basically just overnight killed the modding community. Because they didn't want you to mod the game. They wanted you to play Grand Theft Auto 5, and then when you finish the game, play Grand Theft Auto Online. And I had no interest in playing Grand Theft Auto Online, because again, it was just a money sink. It was, hey, you can do all these missions to earn the money to buy all this cool stuff in Grand Theft Auto Online, or you can give us $50 and we'll give you $100 million of in-game currency.
Yeah, I don't like games that do that.
I remember when Grand Theft Auto 5 first came out, and it came out right when, like, I think one of the winter Steam sales hit. And, like, it's a big thing when the winter Steam sale happens. Like, you discount your games. And Rockstar, they refused to discount Grand Theft Auto 5. So what it was is, you paid $60 for Grand Theft Auto 5, and instead of giving you like a 10% discount on it, it was, oh, you paid full price for the game, but we'll give you $10 million of in-game currency. And if you went, well, I don't want the in-game currency, can I just get the game at a discount? No, you can't.
And, yeah, that's business.
Yep, and the fan community was pissed. And there was a lot of outrage on that.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now.
So, what's the plan?
Take car. Go to Mum's, kill Phil,
sorry,
grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
As I'll write them off.
Let's close up the bridge. Let's get out of here. Close it up, lights out.
Where are you headed, cowboy?
Nowhere special.
Nowhere special. I always wanted to go there.
We're going streaking!